The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Yes, Simon Tierney is back with me, continuing our series, How to Do Stuff, How to Do What, this week, Simon?
How to Win a Nobel Prize.
Oh, great.
Are you a laureate?
Not yet.
Someday.
But I hope by the end of this conversation, I will be closer
to it. You'll know how to do it.
Yeah, I'll have a roadmap in my mind.
How to network. There's so much networking.
Oh, really?
I didn't realise.
I'm not a great networker. I'd be bad in sales.
You know the way when someone wins a Nobel Prize and the media descends on them
and
they're all like, oh, God, it's so unexpected.
I didn't realise. Yeah.
But actually, governments and organisations are constantly lobbying around for this sort of thing. And I'll get to a really interesting Irish example of that in a moment.
Okay.
But the reason we're talking about this, Kieran, of course, is because famous pacifist Benjamin Netanyahu nominated Donald Trump for the Nobel Peace Prize.
Yes,
this
was during just after their conversation about ethnic cleansing of the Gaza Strip.
Yeah, so, you know, it's to be expected. Netanyahu, someone who... Not the only one.
The Pakistanis have nominated him as well, it should be said.
Well, one thing that people were wondering is, why is Benjamin Netanyahu nominating? Like, who gets to nominate?
Yeah.
And there's actually a very wide range of categories of they're called nominators.
Okay.
So anyone who is the head of a sovereign state is able to nominate someone.
All right, okay.
Yeah, so I'll give you an example of this. In 1986, the year after Live Aid, the Taoiseach was Garrett Fitzgerald, and he nominated Bob Geldof for the Peace Prize.
Yeah, and fair enough.
A lot of people thought, internationally, people thought that he would be a shoo-in for it that year. Of course, he didn't win. He got a knighthood instead, Sir Bob.
Yeah.
But when the state papers were released a couple of years ago, it was really interesting to see how the Department of Foreign Affairs in Dublin were lobbying across Europe for this nomination. So, you know, ambassadors in Norway and Switzerland and Italy and France were all contacted and told that you need to network, you need to try and get Bob Geldof's name. And some of the responses were hilarious, including the Italians who wrote back to the Irish ambassador in Rome and said, sorry, who is this?
I guess so, the media didn't exist back then as the way it did today.
The way it does today.
A big concert could happen in London and they mightn't hear about it in Rome.
Exactly, for several years. So last year there were 286 nominations for the Nobel Peace Prize. We don't know how many there will be this year. But one thing's for certain is that Donald Trump will not be winning the Nobel Prize for Peace this year.
Why not?
Because Bibi got his nomination in late. They have to be in by January 31st.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, so maybe next year.
Maybe next year. We hold out hope. So sovereign states, who else?
Yeah, so in the peace category, you're talking about the International Courts of Justice. You're talking about former Nobel laureates, so people who have won the prize already.
Okay.
It's a bit like the Academy, you know, who vote for the Oscars. Previous recipients are the ones who are voting for the next winners. But then in the sciences, you know, most of the Nobel Prizes are in the science categories and medicine. Those are university professors, largely,
okay,
are the ones who would be nominating.
Okay. So you need to kind of get in with some of these nominators to get yourself on the list. Is there anything that we can discern from past winners that would suggest how you might move up that list?
Oh, yeah, hugely. So in the sciences, for example, on average, a scientist's work will have about 1,000 citations before they win a Nobel Prize.
Right, okay.
So you're talking about a huge amount of your peers referencing your work. And that really elevates you to a position where you're kind of considered worthy of consideration.
So I think I'm just going to have to go for the Peace Prize.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You need to get an PhD first.
The sciences have been ruled out there.
Yeah. But another big thing is to try and be a polymath. You know, there was a study done a couple of years ago which showed that people who win the prizes, particularly in the sciences, they tend to have brought a really interdisciplinary approach to their work. So, for example, Alexis Carrel, who won the Nobel Prize in Medicine in 1912, he brought the idea of lace making and embroidery techniques to transplant surgery. So he's kind of like really outside the box thinking. Mm. Or even in the Peace Prize, if you think about someone like John Hume and David Trimble, when they co-won the prize for their efforts for peace in Northern Ireland, I suppose they were delivering a new approach, this idea of different sides coming together to work for a common cause.
Alexis is a guy.
Alexis Carrel is a guy, yeah.
Yeah, so are David and John.
Yes.
So is Donald.
Well, you've hit the nail on the head there. So there's been 1,012 Nobel Prizes handed out mm-hmm. since 1901 when Alfred Nobel started all of this in Scandinavia. 925 of the winners have been men and 67 women. It was 66 until last year. Last year, only one woman out of the whole series of prizes won a Nobel Prize and 20 organisations. This means that 7%, you have a 7% chance of winning a Nobel Prize if you're a woman.
All right, okay.
Isn't that an extraordinary
statistic? It's extraordinary, and on some level it's terrible, but I said at the outset, my ambition with this conversation was
you're doing well.
I'm delighted with that statistic.
But you're also...
Often and all as it is.
Now, the next section, great. You're not doing so well.
Okay.
Yeah, because you're still a bit young.
Oh, really?
Yes. It's a backhanded compliment there.
It is, yeah. Go on.
So the average age of Nobel Prize winners is 59,
okay.
which is considered late middle age.
Well, the linear nature of time would suggest I will
indeed.
Eventually
You'll
do well
there.
In this category.
You'll get there. Yeah. Donald Trump, on the other hand, is exactly 20 years outside of that.
Donald.
It's the only category which is a blemish on his
Nothing
record.
Nothing he could do about it.
The trouble with this is because for Donald, Malala Yousafzai, who the famous Palestinian campaigner for girls' education, Pakistani campaigner, she won 11 years ago at the age of 17. So she's really pulled down the age average, unfortunately. But there is hope because Joseph Rotblat was 87 when he won the Peace Prize in 1995 for nuclear de-escalation.
Well, Donald Trump might suggest that what Iran was all about was nuclear de-escalation.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? He's going to love the sound of this.
Now, while Joseph Rotblat's approach was more about talking, Donald Trump's was more about bombing the nuclear sites. But, you know, different approaches for different people.
Different strokes, different folks. What about skin colour?
Yeah, definitely there's a massive bias here. So, only 1.6% of recipients since 1901 have been black. 17 black people, no black science winners ever, which is pretty shocking considering.
Who's the most famous black winner of a Nobel Prize?
Probably Martin Luther King.
Oh, he won one.
Imagine.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's pretty famous.
Barack?
Barack won one.
Oh, of course.
That was a joke, though.
Actually, that's an interesting one.
That
and
was
I think,
a joke.
Before
people realised he was kind of raining terror with predator drones down on half the Middle East. But anyway.
It was before he started his campaign in Syria and his famous red line.
Yeah, ignored his red lines in Syria, yeah.
That was certainly a controversial one and was probably more of a symbolic one. The Peace Prize is different to the other Nobel Prizes in that there's a much wider remit for who they'll give the prize to. I mean, they gave the Nobel Peace Prize to Europe a couple of years ago. Remember that? And they had to wake up the Europe foreign minister, who no one knew his name. He was from Portugal. It was like, you're going to have to go out and say something because the EU is after winning the Nobel Peace Prize.
Yeah.
But you brought up Barack Obama there, and I think that's really important because ever since the White House Correspondents' Dinner in 2011, when Barack Obama publicly humiliated Donald Trump and set the course for Trump to become president years later. I think Donald Trump has always wanted to win a Nobel Prize because it's the one thing that Barack Obama has that he doesn't have. And I think that, make no mistake about it, Donald Trump really, really wants a Nobel Prize. And he believes that he deserves a Nobel Prize. The other thing that he has going for him is that he's straight. He's a straight man. Proud straight man.
Okay.
Donald.
Yeah.
Isn't he?
Couldn't lie straight in bed, as they say, but I think that's a different type of reference.
Only 12 LGBTQ people have ever won Most of them in the literature category, which of course is classic. And finally, be a reference point.
12 openly gay people. Well. One would wager you go back far enough.
Oh, God.
There's probably plenty of winners.
Definitely, yeah. Did Alan Turing ever win a Nobel Prize?
It's a good question. I wouldn't
think
so.
I wouldn't think so.
He was disgraced really by the end of the war almost, wasn't he?
Yeah. So that is that. I mean, there's plenty of people, there's plenty of questionable winners over the years. Don't forget that Henry Kissinger won a Nobel Prize in 1973.
Another great peace-loving man, much like myself.
A little bit before it was revealed that him and Richard Nixon had been secretly bombing Cambodia.
Yes.
So the lesson here, Kieran, is if you want to win a Nobel Prize, is be white, straight,
check.
Male,
check.
Late middle-aged.
Eh, not yet.
And from the West.
Check. I'm almost there.
Yeah, you're
80%
there.
Of the way there. Send it in the post. No, I'll go to Oslo. I'll accept my prize in person. Simon, I'll bring you.
Oh, thank
Not
you.
Not as my date. That would rule me out there on the straight one. Simon Tierney, thank you very much. Simon will be back with another edition of How to Do Stuff next week.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.